For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk on a Tuesday night. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, as always, Glenn Martin and DK in the background, making sure we don't mess things up too bad over here. But we're excited to talk about Ravens football. There's a lot going on. You know, we got week two of free agency, the second wave of free agency. A lot of things going on in the division, some Ravens transactions, some divisional transactions, and some questions, some head scratchers. So we're going to get into all that stuff. A few other things of note, of course, we're going to get into what positions the Ravens should be most concerned about at this point as they, you know, move more emphasis on the draft. All that being said, how you doing, Glenn?
Doing well. The temperature around here has dipped back down. It feels like winter again outside, which I'm not thrilled about that, Jimbo. Not too happy about that. But other than that, it's was today the first day of spring? I think it's either today or tomorrow. I
think it's. You think you're mad at it, Glenn? Let me tell you what.
What's going on?
I'm boycotting running outside until you give me consistent warm weather. I've been running outside in the dead ass cold for too long, and you tempt me with this beautiful weather, and then guess what? You make it cold again for me. I'm tired of 32 in the morning and cold. It's done with it.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Treadmill until it's warm out. That's it. Stop teasing me. Dang it. Sorry. Had to say that.
Nah, it's all good, dude. I'm with you. I was sick of it. We were spoiled last week, and now it's kind
I'm
of
out there back. Running without a shirt on. Then all of a sudden I get up this morning, there's like ice on my window. Great.
Yeah. That was pretty shocking. But let's get some good news in here, Jimbo, The Ravens did make a signing today, albeit a re-signing, but I think it was important. The Ravens agreed to terms on a two-year deal with cornerback Arthur Maulette, who certainly had a career resurgence this season with the Ravens. They got him over from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Steelers fans were like, you can have him. Good riddance. We don't want this guy anymore. And boy, I mean, this was just one example of Eric DaCosta nailing it when it comes to a bargain option out of free agency last year. And look, he earned his contract. Shout out to him. The guy was, I mean, he was perfect for what we needed in the slot in the fact that he was a good blitzer, disguised it well. He played like a Raven and that he's tough and physical, super physical when coming up to support the run. If they were trying to get the ball out to the flats, he was super physical coming up, making the tackle, getting the guy on the ground, but also good in coverage, Jimbo. I mean, to me, this was a win-win. Does this make you feel a little bit better about the status and condition of the cornerback room?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, like you said, he's a bit of a cast-off from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but came in, and some things I liked about his game is, number one, he was physical. Number two, he was aggressive. And three, he seemed self-confident. Like, he didn't seem to doubt himself very much. The defense wasn't confusing for him. He seemed confident enough in what he was seeing that he could move and play instinctually. And I loved the physicality that he brings. So yeah, I mean, if you take a look at that room and you say, you know, Brandon Stevens, Marlon Humphrey, Arthur Maulette, and then you round it out with like Pepe and Armour Davis, and there's probably a guy missing, but you can also throw our Darius Washington into that.
Yep.
That is, I would say, a pretty above average group, not the deepest, but also, I mean, you got two top end guys and some dogs down there that have flashed. So I feel good about it. I mean, I wouldn't be concerned if we didn't get someone in the draft is, I guess, the way I would answer that question.
Yeah. It certainly takes down the need for depth, right? Like, I think we feel pretty good about those top two guys, but we didn't have a ton of depth. I don't think the Ravens necessarily want to go into a season knowing they have to rely on Jalen Armour Davis. And really Pepe Williams to a degree because of his injuries, even though we think he's shown more flashes than Jalen has, he's still been out so much that you can't really count on him. And same with our Darius Washington. So if nothing else, it provides much needed depth to the room. I still see it very possible for the Ravens to continue to add both through the draft and as well as the talent of free agency. But this was a start in the right direction, and it was much needed. I guess similar to what Aguilar brings, maybe not. I don't know. I guess I would say similar to the Aguilar signing on the opposite side of the ball. He certainly provides some much needed depth there. But I did want to get your take on something else here, Jimbo. I'm having trouble understanding the vision, right? Like, we understand there's a lot of moves that were made this season, this offseason, and we could understand why they happened, right? And we heard the Ravens say, look, we're going to go young at offensive line. And they made moves proving that that's exactly what they want to do. They trade Morgan Moses to the Jets for a pick swap and then a late round pick. And that was kind of surprising because of the fact that he was a middle of the pack right tackle for relatively inexpensive price tag. But I was okay with that because I say, okay, you know, this is a deep offensive line draft, and chances are they could find a day one star. They've done it in the past at right tackle. Okay, I'm fine with that. But then they also decide to let Zeitler go, and let Zeitler go incurring a $4.2 million dead cap hit. And then today, Jimbo, I think it was today, or maybe it was yesterday, it's announced, Adam Schefter tweets out that the former Raven, Kevin Zeitler, intends to sign a one-year deal with the Lions. And now it doesn't show on here, but the details later come out. 1 year, $6 million, Jimbo. So help me understand this. The Ravens were willing to pay a dead cap fee of $4.26 million to let Kevin Zeitler leave, but weren't willing to pay $6 million to have a Pro Bowl-level right guard come back, who's been phenomenal in his 3 years so far here. Reliable, durable, talented, has helped the guys next to him, great in the community. You know, his wife's active on social media. Seems all good things. So why is it, Jimbo, that they were saying we're okay with $4.26 million in dead cap for him not to play against us, but we're not okay with paying him $6 million to play for us?
It's a head scratcher, my man. This is a tough one for me because I have some questions I would love to ask Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh. First of all, what did Kevin do wrong in, you know, off the field or on the field? Was it, I know that some people have said he's a better pass blocker than a run blocker, but hey, Monken threw the ball 1,000 times in the AFC Championship game. So what are we talking about here? We still led the league in rushing. So what's the issue? I know some people have talked about his age, but dude is nothing but available. He is a model of consistency. I think if I'm not mistaken, he missed a few games last year, but I think that based on timing of when that injury was, he would have missed less if it was to get in the playoffs. And then, like you said, he gets drastically underpaid by the Detroit Lions, and the Ravens are paying, like you said, $4 million in dead cap. So I just don't get it. Is Ben Cleveland a revelation at right guard? Like, is that what we're supposed to be believing here? Because let me tell you what, I sat next to Vinny Serrano at training camp. Mm-hmm. Vinny's sitting there with his short shorts and his hat on, his legs crossed, and he's chatting to me about these boys. And he can't help but bag on Ben Cleveland for a solid 4 minutes. Said he's weak, said he's slow, said he gets blown past and overpowered, one of the two, almost every single play. And so I've never been a GM before. I'm not a professional talent evaluator, but that concerns the heck out of me. You better believe it, Glenn. I know we've seen it in spots, like he's played well and things like that, but it's undeniable that he has limitations. This is a head scratcher. I don't know any way to explain this one.
Yeah, I mean, so the part that is really confusing, if you're going to go young on the offensive line, we get they're going either with a young in-house guy at left guard or a newcomer at left guard who we presume will be another young guy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, to his right is going to be Tyler Linderbaum, who at this point is playing at a Pro Bowl level at center and has been in the league now 2 years. So you feel pretty good about that guy being to his right. And even Ronnie Stanley to his left, longtime veteran. Yeah, he's had injury concerns, but when he's out there, he's a pretty solid left tackle. But now you're rebuilding the entirety of your right side because you trade away Moses and you don't have Zeitler. So if you decided to bring back Zeitler, That would have made the job of the new right tackle, who we assume is going to be a young guy, likely a rookie, a lot easier knowing Zeitler's to his left and can help him. Can not only help him like when after the this ball is snapped, but even pre-snap can help this guy. In meetings can help this guy. So many in practice certainly can help this guy. Now you have a basically a all-rookie right side of your offensive line, at least from a starting standpoint. And you can't, like, Zeitler could have helped that guy. Now you have to find a way to help your entire right side. Like, it just seems, unless they have some plan, which I'm hoping they do, it seems like an awfully risky move to go into a draft with this much of a glaring need at any position, but right. certainly offensive line, which I think we can all agree, I think in our opinion, it's one of, if not the most important outside of quarterback. And now you're going into it with that glaring of a need, and you have to come out of there with day one starters at three positions, or at least at two positions, unless mm-hmm. they're telling me Ben Cleveland's an obvious star, which, like you said, that's a bit scary.
Yeah, you're going to have to prove that one to me. Don't feed it to me in the offseason. I don't want to hear about Ben Cleveland balling out in training camp. I don't give two craps about any of it, right? And yeah. So, I want to see it out there when it's – the thing that will – I'll get to Steven's comment in 1 second, but I'll say this. The thing that will frustrate me is that if they roll out there and try and feed us stuff like we're morons. We're not morons. Right. We know what's going on here. So – the only to your point, Glenn, we have seen them overhaul positions, but only when they've struck in the draft position groups, excuse me, only when they've struck in the draft. And because of the sheer number of guys on the offensive line, we've got to hit more than once. Mm-hmm. Right. Or I don't know how else this works. Unless I think you talked about you're playing McCary on the right side as your tackle every single game. I don't, mm-mm. you know what I mean? I don't know if I buy that either. So, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm certainly concerned. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. And you know, we'll move forward. Everyone thinks that Voorhees is a guaranteed thing.
Got a lot of injury concerns.
Yeah, we love him. Trust me. But mm-hmm. you're gonna bet the horse on him?
He's never played an NFL snap, house, and he's had injury concern, injury right. concerns through college. So
in high school, even.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a concern. Steven says, "I'm not trying to be negative. Looking for support. Do you not think we missed our window? So many teams have improved. We have lost our DC.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now have lost three linemen, two cornerbacks, an edge, and a wide receiver.
Do I think, to answer this, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
This defense was good before Mike McDonald. It'll be good after Mike McDonald. It's
like the run game was good before Monken.
And yeah, exactly. Before Roman and after Roman, it's been good. I just have a concern about, can they build a roster? I do have concerns if they can build a roster close to what they had last year, or what John said, he wants to get better. Well, mm-hmm. man, we just had so many quality players leave, and a lot you understand because those guys got big paychecks and raises. But to me, seeing them save $1.8 million, and letting that guy leave, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Jimbo. Like, $1.8 million, what's that really getting you? Like, it's not getting you a whole ton. And, man, Zeitler was solid for us. Played almost every game. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's super frustrating, dude.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they're trying the whole good, better, best thing. Sometimes you gotta let go of better to get best. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. How crazy would it be if all of a sudden Cleveland and Falele are guys, and then your real only concern is the left guard? Like, how wild would that be?
That would be something. It also putting those two guys next to each other, too.
That's what I'm saying. It also would not be the craziest thing as far as player development goes that we've seen here in Baltimore. It's also not like a reach to say that could happen, because I'm sure you and I could sit here if we just thought for 5 minutes. numerous occasions of guys that went off in year three or went off in year four. And, and especially even at O-line with Coach D back there does a really good job of developing those guys. So we'll see what happens. But Steven's follow-up real quick says part two. And as of now, we'd have to draft need versus BPL. Oh, best player available with so many holes. Yeah. And if our rookies didn't play last year, then they weren't even as good as Moses. Help me feel good. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I mean, we got to remember, I think Moses gets bashed a lot. He was a middle of the pack right tackle. He wasn't a horrible right tackle. But to your point, yeah, I mean, if those guys weren't ready to take over for an injured Morgan Moses last year, was clearly nursing an injury for the last portion of the season, certainly last quarter, then, yeah, how are they going to get that much better, leaps and bounds better, to not only be good enough to equal Moses' performance, but we hope they could get better than what they got at right tackle last year. So how can we feel confidence? I'm with you on that part, Steven. I'm not really sure what the plan is. I got to imagine they have a plan because they're not the only team or person looking around. Like, we are seeing what the North is doing. North was the best division in football last year, and it wasn't even close. Not even remotely close. And the North has gotten a lot better, Jimbo. That's like the scariest part of it all is – man, the Ravens look like we've seen one big piece come in, right? We saw a couple re-signings, which were great. Matabike leading the way. But, man, the Steelers did a lot. The Bengals have done an awful lot. The Browns have done an awful lot, been active. And then around the AFC, look at what the Jets are doing. I mean,
man. Yeah, the Chiefs adding Marquise Brown. I mean, it's not the road is not getting any easier. And the problem is we're in the toughest division. It just got tougher. Now, I will say this, and this might help you feel better, Steven. The Ravens are picking, what, 30? There is a very possible scenario. This is not a stretch. That one of two things, I'll give you two scenarios. The Ravens stand pat, and because of the way the board has fallen, say there was an early run offensive lineman, so that pushes, in my opinion, that pushes the interior offensive lineman up if the tackles start to fall. I kind of see that, you know, that it going that way. But if the Ravens stand pat, take the best guard, right? I realize it's high for guard. This is not the most likely scenario, but say they take the best guard at 30 and they plug him in at right guard, right?
Yeah.
And then second round, they take the second best guard and they plug him in at left guard. How good are we feeling then? Now, more likely scenario, say they trade back and then what they're able to do is get those picks closer together. But whatever that combination is, you know, the top rated guards, both at left and right, at the later first round, which I see more early second round, and then when they pick in the second round, man, we would feel incredible about that, right? Like, I know I would, at least personally, because then if you got dogs at guards, you got Linderbaum, and really your only question mark as far as experience goes is Falele at that point. Not experience. I shouldn't say that because you'd have two rookies at guard, but capability goes would really be Falele at that point. So it could turn, right?
Could, but you have to help those guys, man. Look at who's in the AFC and specifically the North at edge. Oh, man. I mean,
you're talking about outside with Ronnie and with Falele.
And Falele, dude, you're going to have to deal with TJ Watt. You're going to deal with Zadarius Smith and Miles Garrett. I mean, you're going to have to deal with Hendricks and Hubbard or Hendrickson. Is it Hendrickson or Hendrickson? Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't know.
Something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of talented pass rushers in this division. So it just makes me nervous thinking Falele's the every game starter. It's going to limit what you can do. Max says, on the flip side, we will run Henry and let a young O-line maul people down the field. Well,
so that's what I'm saying, true, right?
If they're good.
You know, right. If we get some guys that are maybe young, if they're but not good, right? Like, we draft them high and they're high, their ceiling is high. They're good football players, but they lack experience. And we just lean on them in the run game, get them going, get their confidence going, get their juice flowing. I can see us gaining a lot from that, you know? But look, Kevin Zeitler doesn't grow on trees, or he wouldn't be in year end of his career, whatever year he's in.
Right.
I mean, he is a valuable player in the NFL, right? So, yeah, I mean, they just don't grow on trees. So we'll see. But it would be really cool to get the top rated guards in the draft. I know that sounds boring. It's my dream draft right now, Glenn.
I'm with you. And I like the young guys. Don't get me wrong, but You got three holes right now, so you got to fill them up. Yeah. Don C says, I think every year we think we have major concern about a position group. Every year our biggest concern of that position group usually works itself out, and some other group is much worse, LOL. No, I guess that's true. I guess
that's like the NFL as a whole, right? Like,
yeah, and to some degree, I get what you're saying, Don. It's just that if there's a position group to be concerned about, I'd much rather it be something other than offensive line. Like, yeah. That, to me, is the scary part. Is that we're not complaining and worried about a tight end room. We're not, like, saying, what do we do at running back? We're talking about what do we do at offensive line, the thing that makes all those other things go. And without that, it really doesn't matter how good you are elsewhere if you don't have a guy – guys up front that can keep your quarterback.
Even Derrick Henry has struggled when his offensive line hasn't been good. As good as Derrick Henry's been, he's had moments where he's just unable to get it going because his offensive line is not getting it, giving him time, giving him opportunities and things like that. So I feel you, Don. I appreciate it. Your wisdom is shining through in that comment. So we appreciate that, but certainly I can't remember the last time I was this concerned going into the draft about this position, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like Boyce says in the chat, they must have a plan. I agree. Must. It's just sucks. Cause we don't get to see that plan. They don't tell me and Jimbo what that plan is. So we just get to sweat it out for now, but man, it's such a head scratcher to give away a right tackle that was only costing you like $5 million. And then you give away your right guard to save $1.8 million, who's a Pro Bowl level guard. That's a head scratcher. But to our point and to kind of further our point, I want to take a quick peek around what we've been seeing around the AFC North, Jimbo. Yep. We talked a little bit about how it's a division that was the best last year, and it's only looking like it's going to get better this year. And another daggone Raven has left us and went in the division, Jimbo. Browns signed Tyler Huntley. So, first of all, they have a very deep quarterback room. Like, they got like five guys right now playing quarterback for them, and none of them are Joe Flacco somehow. But Tyler Huntley not only leaves the Ravens, he stays in the division, goes to the Browns. But that's just one example of guys who have left the Ravens and stayed in the division and are looking to play against the Ravens. But also, I mean, just take the Browns, for instance. So, yeah, they get Tyler Huntley, which I think was good. They also signed Jameis Winston to that same quarterback room, which I think is a heck of a backup quarterback to Watson. But then they also trade for Jerry Jeudy and then immediately ink him to a 3-year long-term extension, which I'm not necessarily that worried about that because I remember what Steve Smith had to say about him, and I certainly trust his judgment when it comes to wide receivers. And he called him a jag on more than one occasion, which means just a guy in his mind. So,
yeah,
but they got him. They bring back Zadarius. I feel like I'm blanking on some of the other moves that the Browns have made. But do you look at their team as it stands right now and see that their roster looks like it may have improved from last year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the biggest piece is they're staying consistent with the edge. Zadarius Smith is a big part, big piece of them. And then also they're adding Amari Cooper is a one, but Amari Cooper needs help. And you know what I mean? And so adding Jerry Jeudy, even though he's a jag, right? According to Steve Smith, I think he just alleviates some pressure and makes life a little more difficult for defenses when they're trying to hone in on Amari Cooper. So for them, it's always.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's going to be who's under center though. Like, is Deshaun Watson washed? I think he's washed and I don't think he's very hungry. I think psychologically he's done, but look, he beat us last year, put up a good game, decent game, nice stat line against us last year with a broken shoulder or whatever was going on there. But, yeah, they've definitely got better. I think it's undeniable.
Yeah. And that,
you know,
That part, well, and also from a, just a coaching staff, they got, I forgot about, but they signed Mike Vrabel as an analyst and personnel consultant. So I think, you know, I was shocked to see he wasn't picked up immediately when he was hot, when he was let go, but he brings certainly experience and strategy and his mind will be put to use there for them. And then also I forgot about this former Raven, James Proche re-signs with the Browns. So,
wow, I mean, even look, after that drop punt.
I know, man. Shocking. Shocking. I must say, but as far as let me pull up the other teams here. So
yeah, the guy with the Bengals. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bengals, man, the Bengals is damn dirty Bengals. They made some good moves. They bring in Trent Brown, who was maybe the best remaining tackle on the, certainly from like a talent standpoint, but he's older, he's had a lot of injuries, but when he's healthy, he's a heck of a player. And so they sign offensive tackle Trent Brown. They signed Sheldon Rankins as a defensive tackle to a contract. They signed They signed Mike Gesicki to play tight end, which I think they've been missing a tight end to give to Joe Burrow. And they get Gesicki, who can really go up and get the ball as a big red zone threat. They signed Zach Moss. They signed Geno Stone from us, which we all know how good that guy is. They traded Joe Mixon and ended up bringing in, like I mentioned, Zach Moss. In my opinion, that's an upgrade. I think that's fair to call that an upgrade. So did they get better too? And they signed Von Bell back, which I think was a big addition.
Did we say
addition.
Geno? Did you say Geno?
Yeah, so now they got Geno and Von Bell as their safeties.
Yeah. No, and who knows? They might end up with Justin Jefferson. I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so.
But there are some Bengals fans that are pretty convinced that's happening.
Yeah,
that I've been talking to lately. I don't think it's happening.
Jay Jettas ain't coming.
Yeah, no. I don't know how you can pay two highest paid receivers and then the highest paid quarterback and have any sort of a team. But no, you're right. They've objectively gotten better. There's really no way to put it. I mean,
and if they can cool the Jets on T. Higgins' trade request and keep him around. Man, that's that's a scary group of weapons. And then finally, let's bring up and see what the Steelers have done here. Let's see. Yeah, so obviously, most notably, what they did in the quarterback room when they trade Kenny Pickett. I never got your take on that. They trade Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, sign Russell Wilson, and then trade for Justin Fields for what looked to be a bag of balls, which, by the way, I guess, do we credit the Bears for trading him to the Steelers to do solid by a player, despite the fact that they reportedly turned down better offers to send him to his preferred destination? What's your thoughts on that?
I guess you got to credit the Bears, right?
Man, I didn't want him to come here.
No, me neither. Because look, people can say they do or they don't like Justin Fields. You know, I was high on Justin Fields coming out of the draft, much higher than Zach Wilson, which I was right again. But look, I'm not saying he's a world beater that we know of, but it's also fair to say that the Bears are just not good. And he's been in some tough situations and he's still prospered, albeit in his own way. He had, you know, didn't he have like the rushing record or came up on the rushing record or whatever, you know, he came close to it, something like that. I mean, the dude can run the football. Outside of the fact, I think he's a great leader. I think he's got the arm. I think he's got the arm talent and he can see down the field. But just the reason I bring up the running aspect of it is because if you want a shot in the arm as an offense and you got Najee Harris and then you got a young, good offensive line and you got Justin Fields in the backfield, you want a shot in the arm, run the football with those two. Don't complicate the thing, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, they got him and Russell Wilson. Now, the news is Russell Wilson's going to be the starter. What's your take on all this, with this whole situation?
You know, the old saying, NFL stands for not for long. That's what I feel like for Russell Wilson's starting chances. Not for long will be the case. And it's really just a matter of what's like, everyone agrees that Russell's on his way down. Even if you think at this point he's up here and maybe Justin is this way, but Justin's going this way and Russ is going this way. So I would certainly put my, if I was investing my coaching and building my roster around either one of those guys, it would certainly be the younger, more talented Justin Fields. But I understand what they're trying to, I think what they're trying to do is psychologically take pressure off of him during training camp by saying Russell's the guy, take it easy, but they want Justin Fields to take the job. And I'm sure they'd prefer if he was the week one starter, if he earned it, but they're taking pressure off him by naming Russell the starter. Russell's being paid very handsomely by the Broncos and nothing by the Steelers. So to me, it's all about Justin Fields. They didn't invest much in Russell. It's just a psychological thing. But also, Jimbo, they signed Deshaun Elliott as a safety to play for them. And, of course, have Patrick Queen as their middle linebacker. Again, former Ravens crossing the picket line. Do you think now they had – I mean, look, all these teams have lost guys, and I guess I haven't done as good a job covering their losses that they've had, which there's a couple guys that certainly will be missed. But right now, just the massive upgrade at quarterback, in my opinion, tells me that I think the Steelers are in better position heading into this season than they were last.
Yeah. I mean, Kenny Pickett is, he was a they fell in love with the prospect because he's a hometown kid. I think they reached big time with Kenny, and that was just, I mean, I think they reached with Najee. People can call me a hater. I don't think he's a first round running back. I think he could have potentially got him in the second round. So, all that being said, they definitely reached with Two Glove Kenny, and he's going to be a backup, which I think is more appropriate for him.
Yeah.
And I wish him all the best. So yeah, they've improved big time at the most important position, and that offensive line was gelling at the end of the year. So, you give some of those young guys up front more time, more reps, another offseason. And anytime you got a decent quarterback who can do some things, you got a good running back, you got a run game, and you got a defense, you're going to be in every single game, certainly in the AFC North. So, yeah, they've definitely gotten better. Now, the only thing I want to say is we put out a poll earlier today on YouTube. DK is going to put this up on the screen. Glenn, I want to know if you agree with this here. I think I tend to agree as well. Technical difficulties from the master. That's what he gets for eating chips. His fingers are probably greasy. Let's see here. All right, so here we go. What team in the division had you the most concerned right now? We will talk about tonight on the show, of course, which is what we're doing. 40% of you, this is interesting, 40% of you say the Bengals, 21% the Browns, and 38% the Steelers. I think the Steelers and the Bengals are closer because people respect the Steelers' consistency as an organization and the history there. But do you agree with the folks that participated in the poll? Are the Bengals the biggest concern for you?
I still put the Bengals number one because they have the best quarterback, and I mean, they still have the best group of weapons of the bunch, especially when you consider Gesicki added to it, and they've been working on the offensive line. So, yeah, I do believe the Bengals number one. The question I have is, who do you think is number two? And this is a close – this isn't like a huge drop-off. Like, whoever's four in this division, or whoever we predict is four, whoever anyone predicts is four, could very well win the division. So, we're kind of picking who do you think is more of a threat. It's not a big difference between who I'm picking to be first and who I'm last. But who do you say is the second most? Because I'm kind of torn, because it's just the Steelers every freaking year figure out a way to do it. But when I look at it's the Steelers because of that.
Yeah, it's something. Look, if anybody wants to come at me in the chat, today's not the day to do it. But if you want to, proceed with caution. But dude, the Browns are the Browns until they're not the Browns. Joey Flacco is not there. So until you tell me otherwise, I don't think that Deshaun Watson has it psychologically. I think he's just damaged goods, and he's guaranteed a bazillion bucks, like Brinks trucks loads worth of money. You know what I'm saying? So, do a background check on you type of withdrawals. Right. So look, I don't buy into the Browns. I don't buy into them. I'm much more concerned about the Steelers. They're better coached. Not that Stefanski isn't a good coach, but I think Steelers are better coached. They're better run from the top down. And they got two better options at quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And but the question is that defense just going to overcome? Because they're going to be tough again this year.
Yep.
It's gonna be another tough year trying to survive the war of attrition that is the AFC North. Could come down to who's just a healthier team But of course, they're not playing until September. It's a long ways away. But I appreciate everyone who took the time to participate in our poll.
Dude, now I got to say this. Speaking of our poll, I put out two today. The other one was, which position group are you most concerned about at this point in free agency? And not as close, much more lopsided. 90% of people, the options were wide receiver, offensive line, and edge. Only 4% said edge. 6% said wide receiver. 90% said offensive line. So look, Glenn, we're not the only ones here sounding the alarms. Yeah. Right? I mean, I think it's a big deal and something to be concerned about. I don't think that we are disrespecting the guys we have in house right now. I don't think they've proven it. You know, and we gotta see him do it.
And one guy who I know was having some Ravens fans hope he may make a return home, Bradley Bozeman.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Baltimore West, he goes to the Chargers, yeah, reunites with Greg Roman. And look, so now they have Gus. So, you know, with our personnel department, they have Joe Ortiz taking over as GM, former director of personnel here. And then, of course, the worst Harbaugh brother.
I was going to say the second best Harbaugh.
The second best. And then Gus Edwards, Hayden Hurst, tight end. They have now Bradley Bozeman. I feel like Mark Trestman is also a senior assistant on their coaching staff. I mean, do you expect any level of immediate success, or do you think this is something that, because they've done a lot to overhaul this roster, including getting rid of all their named wide receivers. Do you think this is a Chargers team that's going to be ready to push the Chiefs for that? Like, what's your take on the Chargers right now?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. And this is why I'm going to say yes, because Greg Roman does this. First 3 years in a team, it's good, good, good. And then...
Is Herbert going to be MVP? Honestly.
Dude, he might rush for 1,000 yards. But look, Greg, I talked about a shot in the arm before. Joey Bosa restructured his deal to stay with them and Khalil, you know, with the Chargers and Khalil Mack. I think they'll have a defense. So if you have a defense and you have a run game, you know, you got problems, right? So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over there. Nothing is going to make me happier than old Jimmy Harbaugh taking down the Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs in surprise fashion. I think they push them, right? I think there'll be a shot in the arm.
Oh, certainly. That coach with, you know, that unique of an offensive scheme. And let's not forget, Greg Roman and Harbaugh were together at Stanford. So this is a reunion of sorts, and as well as in 49er land. Yeah. So this is a familiar coaching staff. They know each other well. But back to your point as far as the position groups and outside of offensive line, Jimbo, if I couldn't – because I saw that some people were saying, you know, wide receiver. Some people were saying corner. And even before – so I'd say before the Mollett signing, I would have said corner is the more desperate need, because outside of Stevens and Marlin, I was feeling, you know, a little shaky about everybody after those two guys. Whereas at least on the wide receiver end, feel pretty good about feel really good about Zay Flowers, feel pretty good about Rashad Bateman, and I feel pretty good about Nelson Agholor. Do you look at, if you had to pick one after the Mollett signing, would you prefer that the Ravens – let's say the best player be available be a corner, or the best player available be a wide receiver if they're picking in the second round, I'll call it.
Oh, that's tough. Nah, I'm okay with who we got throwing the ball to, actually. Let's go with a corner. I mean, if you're telling me those are the two options, I want a guard.
Yep.
I want eight guards.
No, those are the only two options.
Eight guards. That's what I want. But no, I mean, if those are my only two options, yeah, I'm going with corner. Because Marlin could be out of here next year.
Ugh.
You know,
yeah,
so this could be his last year in purple.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other side, like Bateman, if they don't pick up his option, is this not Bateman's fourth year upcoming? So
yeah,
then he could be out of here, and then we'll just have Zay. Like, isn't it just Zay after this year if they don't pick up his option? Pretty sure it's just Zay, which is kind of scary,
and Mark.
Well, yeah.
And then are we the Kansas catchers. And then we're the Kansas City Chiefs at that point, right? Like
what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know. So I don't know. For some reason that doesn't make me as concerned.
So you're not in the group of, well, the Ravens are missing a big body receiver. You think the tight end group fills that void?
Yeah, I think for the most part it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. Because
look, I would have liked to see Mikey Williams in here. That would have been cool. To me, I think he's
Jets, dude.
I know. Have you ever seen, like, I remember very few occasions where Mike loses a 50-50. Like, he's not the best receiver ever, but in a 50-50 situation, I've ever seen.
Oh, it's like remember when I was talking to Laquan Treadwell at the Ravens training camp. And I said, Mr. 50-50. And he said, with me, it's more like 80-20. I don't know about if Laquan lives up to that, but Mike Williams is 80-20. Like, that dude lives up to that hype. And seeing him with Wilson at receiver, I mean,
Hold on a second.
What?
Why am I dumb? Why do people got to be aggressive? What's going on here?
I don't know. Let's see.
Wait, is that the wrong James, DK? Oh, is this dude a troll? He's a troll. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's just a troll.
Sorry, Glenn. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. No, it's a classic troll. But you know, it's interesting about the Jets. We talk about what they've done at wide receiver. They've also said, "All right, your trash is our treasure," and they said, "We'll take John Simpson, sign him to a long term deal. We'll trade for Morgan Moses. We like those guys a lot better." Why is it that they think that those two can help keep their how old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury who looks 40. To be transitioning to a politician? I guess they're good enough for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Morgan Moses trade is okay. Mm-hmm. I think that the John Simpson signing was a head scratcher. I would have rather gone to get Bradley Bozeman. Get Bozeman. You know what I mean? At that situation. Cheaper. At that point in the offseason, I mean, I don't know. I didn't like that. I wasn't too thrilled about that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just want to say Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes with who was the wide receivers, BP? Tell me who they are. Marquise Brown and you. Seth Roberts. You don't know. Don't talk to me about wide receivers. All right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about wide receivers when we have nobody at the right side of the offensive line. Don't call me stupid when you're going to be the first guy out there saying Lamar can't throw the ball because we have no time. Well, you wanted 20 wide receivers. Just saying. What do you want here?
Yeah. Isn't 7 of the 8 pass catchers back? So I guess the sky's falling because OBJ is gone.
Mr. $400,000 a catch.
I mean,
he has some clutch plays, but you're right. I mean, it's just one
like,
guy.
The sky's falling because one guy is missing. I don't know. Yeah, I think the cupboard is far more full. Like, can you remember an offseason where we started with this full of cupboard at wideout? Like, it just seems kind of...
It's all relative, right? Like, if you're a real Ravens fan, you know what that cupboard has been like.
Yeah, like, what are we talking about?
You are on your knees at night thanking the Lord above.
Yeah.
Like, and we got actual guys.
Just Zay alone is better than what we've had in so many years.
What was it two offseasons ago that at this point it was Rashad and who?
No one.
Like, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, come on. What are we talking about here, guys?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Come on, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't see it. I mean, I definitely wouldn't mind if they added maybe a height, weight, speed guy at the tail end of the draft, a guy that they think could develop with some more time and maybe is young to football or had some injury issues that they think are behind him. I have no problem with that, but drafting a receiver in the top two rounds, I think, would be kind of crazy. And the only reason you do that is because he is so far and away the best player available on your board that you have to as a Raven, the Ravens brass. So, yeah, but I don't understand it, and it's kind of crazy. But edge, I think, to me is even more like my whole thing is there any chance that Jadeveon Clowney is not back? Like, to me, they have to get Jadeveon back because I look at what Chase Young just got. He got 1 year, $13 million. If Chase Young got 1 year, $13 million, There's no reason to think that we can't bring back Jadeveon Clowney for a reasonable price tag. I mean,
yeah.
Am I right to
no, he's to me, that would be the that would be an awesome signing to get done next, right?
Yeah.
Clowney needs to be back, man. Because he's not going to Seattle. He's not going to play with any really Clowney, don't fool yourself and go to Carolina. Don't do this to yourself. I know that you're a mercenary. I know that you generally go to the highest paid bidder, but don't, please. Don't do it to yourself, man. Just avoid all that. Stay Baltimore, you know, stay up in Baltimore, stay happy. And yeah, Clowney would be a great acquisition. Cause look, we don't know what's going on with the Jabo. Adafe almost, right? So we need some guys there that have shown they can get the job done. And Clowney seems to fit here. Baltimore loves him, and I think he loves it here. Yeah, let's get him back.
Yeah, got to. Absolutely must. It's starting to get a little bit sketchy at the edge position if he gets signed, because then you're going into the draft with, I think, two pretty big needs, edge and offensive line. I don't want to be there. That can't be the thing that ends up happening. Let's see. Clowney is on tour visiting the Jets. Come on, Jets. What the hell? We gave you the guys we wanted you to take. Yeah. Don't take that guy. We want him. Yeah. not that guy. And to Holly's question, he says, what about Van Noy? I'd love to have Van Noy. My question is, when does Van Noy, like, it's pretty clear Van Noy is willing to sit out as long as he'll sit into the season. He's not no rush to get out there. And he's already shown himself and everyone else that off the couch version is still pretty damn talented. Like, it's, in fact, he had his best season ever, missing all of training camp and even the beginning parts of the season. So if they want Van Noy, I don't think they're getting Van Noy till like the start of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, right. So that question will never be answered until September.
And then the scary thing is, what if a team has a rash of injuries and decides, I want Van Noy right now, and I'll give him, you know, $9 million. He's gone. And then boom, now you don't have a backup plan like KVN. And so, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. We are at a pivotal point in the offseason. You know, as the draft comes closer and they reveal a little bit about what their plans are moving forward, we'll definitely glean from that. And then we'll see what other low-key moves they can make in the free agency market. It's going to be interesting, man.
Yep. Now, look, we got some things coming up in the early parts of April. I want to let you guys know, all the people in the chat saying, when are you guys doing mock drafts? Those mock drafts are coming. And yeah, not only are they coming, we're getting tough grading, because too often I think we had some nice guys on here. They weren't willing to say who's the winner, but more importantly, who is the loser in our mock draft competition.
Wait, you want to be designated the loser, Glenn?
No, no. I want to be announced. The winner is what I want. And I want you to be announced as the loser. Okay. That's what I want. And so I'm excited to get into the mock draft, but the draft is April 25th. We're still over a month out. So we just don't want to jump into mocks just yet, because then, I mean, we can't do mocks for 40 days. I mean, there's a little bit of a build to that.
Yeah, process. The anticipation, folks, come on.
Exactly. You haven't heard us on here talking specific names. No, we've been talking needs. We've been talking groups, general draft questions with Cole. We're dipping the toe. We're not diving it. We're not cannonballing into the deep end. We're walking down the ladder. Okay. We're one of those people who walk down the ladder. We don't dive right in. So be prepared to see lots of draft. We do first round mocks, then we'll transition to 3-round mocks, and eventually we'll do a full 7-round mock. Both me and Jimmy comparing, contrasting. I'll tell him why his picks are not good, why mine are correct.
And then I'll get the first round and then the last round right again in the actual draft.
You know what? I predicted Geno Stone in the 7th, which went down as the best. No, actually, I didn't. I was going to lie and completely make up a story.
Just going to gaslight? I'm glad you saved yourself. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, I know people are coming at me. That's totally fine. Just never forget where football is won and lost, and it's in the trenches. Don't tell me you're going to build your football team from the outside in, because you're not going to win a damn thing, right? I want offensive linemen. You can call me whatever you want. Mark Andrews is a bona fide star. You can say whatever you want. And anything you say, statistics will bear out the opposite of what you're saying. Don't be a fool and think that wide receivers are the way to the Super Bowl. We all need wide receivers. But dang it, if your best player, your highest paid player, can't stay off his backside, then what are we doing? If you can't run the football, then what are we doing? If we're paying Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson in the backfield and you don't have guys in front of them to protect them, then what are we doing? So this is basic football to me. Go talk to any dude that's been watching football or gal that's watching football for 60 years and ask him. They'll tell you the same thing. You build it from the inside out.
Lost,
man.
In the trenches every time.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. It's just the facts. It's won and lost in the trenches. It doesn't matter how good your stars on the outside are. If they don't have enough time to get down the field and get the ball in their hands.
We're not the Kansas City Chiefs. The teams call holds on us, so we need talented offensive linemen. Just is what it is, right? Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear that the offensive line broke down in the playoffs, specifically in that Chiefs game. They got, and it was a lot of things. A lot of things.
For sure.
Football, it's just like they say, it's won and lost in the trenches. There's just no doubt about it. You can't think that it's won by the wide receivers. It's just not. Name the number one receiver for the Chiefs last year.
Yeah, I mean, right. Rice.
Yeah, I guess so.
A rookie. What was he, like a fifth round pick or whatever?
I guess. Yeah. 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 So I think it's pretty clear. Yeah. And look, they've already invested so many number one picks at wide receiver. You really want them to do another one?
And we just signed Derrick Henry. Like, how can we sign Derrick Henry and not give him some sort of offensive line? Then all we're doing is diminishing his value instead of extracting more out of the contract that we gave him. Makes no sense.
Yep. Makes no sense.
Yeah, anyway, that's it for us tonight, folks. But like Glenn said, the draft is here. Settle in because the mocks are coming. The gurus are coming on the show. So hang in there, buckle up, get out your draft boards. Let's do this thing. And we'll be back later on the week.
Yep. See you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.